You don't have much chance for Bob tonight, so you want to be quick. Who started with Bob?
Sam.
No, what? Who gave me Bob this morning? It was too. All right. Go to Genesis 3. Then Isaiah 12. Then Malachi, chapter 2, and where you need to be is Hebrews 2. If you're anywhere else, you're in the wrong place. Hebrews 2, that's where we're going. All right, I think Steph had it. It was Hebrews 2. She was Hebrews 2 before anyone was. We don't need any of the other verses. They were all red herrings. I was just getting you going. Hebrews 2, I got no idea what verse yet, Steph, so just wait and see. Just stand there. Everyone look at Steph. Verse 11 through to 15, Steph. Oh, no. Just verse 11. Just give me verse 11. 2, verse 11. Both he that sanctifieth, thank you, Steph. You got Bob? Did you get given Bob? He that sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. All of one, because of that, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Based off everything we have been looking at, all the sermons, all the studies, he that sanctifieth. Who is that? Not off our studies. Your answer is right, but that's not specific enough. Beck, I think you were next. The captain of our salvation, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified. Who are they that are sanctified? Let's go again. No, not the sinners. Because, yes, in some cases, but no in others, right? So he that is sanctified, I think there was someone... who was along this row? Which one of you girls do you reckon was first? Beth? Who's the them? Oh, okay, in the example I used, we used... the them back there, the old people, right? Yeah. Okay, but it's not because they're old, so I'm not quite going to take that either. It's not because they were sitting back there. It's not because they're not us. It's not because they were old. Sam? Those that are saved. Those that are Christ's. So we have he that sanctifieth, that's our captain. We have those that are sanctified, those that are saved, have been forgiven of their sins, are all of one. Who is the one that they are of? Look, you seem to be a good place to start. Let's go. Who is the one that the captain and the sanctified are of? They are of someone. Just go back to your first answer. It was a good one.
Oh.
Man, you were so close. Gareth? God. They're of God. That was the first answer you gave me. For both he that sanctifieth, being our captain, the captain of salvation, and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he, you tell me who the he is. Oh, no. Let's read it again. For both he, our captain, that sanctifieth, both he, Jesus, that sanctifieth, and they, believers, who are sanctified, are all of one, are all of God, for which cause he, you've only got two choices, because the other one would be they, right? There's your hint, the they is plural. There's only two options for he. Who is it that is not ashamed? I'm done with you. You might have been first, but you disappointed me. Naomi. No, it's not Satan. Who is it that is not ashamed? Oh, it's not specific enough for God. Lacey? Sorry? Oh, come on, be confident in your answer. Just throw it out there. That's right. Talking about our captain. Oh, you get a minty for that. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them. You've only got one option that's not singular. Who is the them? Sophia? Us who? Believers. It's not us Queenslanders, is it? We've got to figure out what us we're talking about. He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. When we went out there and looked at that tennis ball burning through the night sky, well, eventually. Who were you thinking, and who did I use it as an example of not being ashamed? Who was that about? Us or Christ? Us, right? But this passage talks about Christ not being ashamed. I want to stop. I want to pray. And you don't need my coaching you through this. You don't need my specific direction. Maybe you got made to come to camp. Maybe you came to camp for the games, for the food. Maybe you came to camp for the smell of dorms. I don't know why you came here. Maybe you came to camp to hear something from God. For whatever reason you came here, God has you here to tell you something. He's got you here to seek you, to impart something to you, to give you something. So what I want to do tonight, I want to stop and I want to pray and I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say to me. I don't want to hear this bearded preacher up the front. I want to hear from God. I can only speak to your ears. But God can take it from your ears and you can hear it in your heart. He can take it from here to here. He asked one of his most closest and trusted disciples who he was, and his disciple answered that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. You haven't been given that understanding by a man. But my Father which is in heaven has given you that. The only way you will understand and hear and comprehend that Christ is the Redeemer, the Son of the living God, the captain of salvation, is if God gives it to you. So why don't you stop tonight and ask the Lord to give that to you. Say, Lord, I want to hear from you. So we're going to pray. And I want you to pray for yourself. And just in case they're not praying, I want you to pray for the person on the left-hand side of you. And if you don't have anyone on the left-hand side, just go right around the world until you get to the person on your left-hand side. Right? It hurts, but it makes sense. All right. And then I want you to pray for the person on the right-hand side of you. If you don't have anyone on the right-hand side, just go right around the world until you come back this other side. Pray for them. That God would talk to us tonight. And we're going to do the same thing as we did just the other night. We're just going to stop in quietness for a bit. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray. I'm going to give you a bit longer because you've got three people to pray for tonight, not just one. Okay? So spend some time praying. And then I'll close out that moment of prayer myself, and we'll get going on this, okay, before we run out of time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to come before you and humble ourselves before you, Lord, that you'd speak to us tonight. Pray, Lord, you'd get me out of the way. We'd hear from you. You'd do a work in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we would see Jesus. And we'd get our eyes focused on you and that you might give us that understanding. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself through your Holy Spirit to any unbelieving heart that's here tonight. Any doubt, any uncertainty, I pray, Lord, they'd meet with you tonight, that they might know you. I thank you, Heavenly Father, we can cast our cares at your feet. Pray, Lord, that you would answer our prayers tonight as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know who you prayed for, but I prayed for Clem. Then I prayed for me. Then I went right the way around and prayed for Clem again. So look, just saying, right? That's the thing about praying left and the left-hand side and the right-hand side. You eventually find somebody. And if you didn't pray tonight, well, it doesn't matter because two other people did. Yeah? That God would speak to you. And you'd hear something from God tonight. Hebrews chapter 2, we're not racing for it. In verse 11, the Bible says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Both the captain of our salvation is of God. Chapter 1, verse 2 makes that plain, that God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Go to chapter 2, verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." The Son of God. God spoke to us by his Son, Jesus. You know who Jesus is of? Jesus is of God. Where's Bob? Where's Bob? All right, you ready? John 1:12. I wasn't watching. Did anyone see that? It was movement here. Sophia or Sam, who got it? Sophia, you weren't anywhere near it, were you? Presley or Sam, which one got it? You think it was Sam? I'm just going to take that humility and let you have it. Sit down, Sambo. doesn't always pay to be the preacher's son. He picks on you. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Did you just turn a page? Hang on now. Hang on now, Presley. Did you just turn a page? You've got to be on the right verse. It's close, though. Just real close. No, 12 and 13. As long as you're not turning the page, I'll take it. The sons of what?
God.
Of God. Did you catch that? Keep going. It's kind of plain, isn't it? You know, some verses in the Bible don't need any explaining. Sometimes people say, oh, I find the Bible too complicated. The Gospel of John is a really good place to read if you find the Bible too complicated. It's really simple and laid out really plain, and the Lord puts the dots close together. You know what I mean by that? You understand what I mean by the Lord putting the dots close together? You know when you're doing a dot to dot, and the dots are so close together, you don't actually have to do the dot to dot to see that it's a giraffe, right? You can just see the dots. But then other dot to dots, they're so far apart, you're like, where do I even find that dot? God puts the dots close together for us in places. And here in John, he tells us, as many as received him, and then he goes on to explain what that means, even to them that believe on his name, hath he given power to become the sons of God. And he explains what happens when you believe on his name. You're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, and I've spoken a lot about you yielding your will to the Lord and going, you have a choice. But at the end of the day, when you take your will and you fall down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I want you to save me. I want you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I'm yielding myself to you and giving my all to you. We see somebody do that and we go, oh, they just got saved. But me calling out to God does not save me, because I'm not saved by my will. All I'm doing by crying out to God is saying, I can't save me. I need you to save me. When salvation actually happens is when the Lord from heaven looks down and sees that humbled sinner praying and asking for salvation, and he says, yes, I'll take your will and replace it with mine, and by my will you will be saved. Cam asked me for a minty. You know what he did? He prayed and said, give me a minty. And did he get a minty? Not the first time. I took great delight in saying no. Now, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call on the Lord, then you know what the answer will be. The Lord will save you, but your calling is not the act of salvation, because it's not by your will. The act of salvation is God's answer and Him creating in you a clean heart. You yield yourself to Him and He gives you the power to become the sons of God, not by the will of the flesh nor by the will of man, but of God. And so then what we have is the Son of God together with the sanctified Son of God, that has been saved by the grace of God, yielded themselves to their captain and saved through Jesus Christ. And back in Hebrews, we see there that the Bible just simply and plainly says, I'll find my verse, make sure I get it right. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Simply because you are of God, Jesus says, well, I'm not ashamed of you. And I'm not ashamed to call you my brethren. Simply because of who you're of. Nothing to do with how good you are. Nothing to do with what you have done or what you haven't done. But everything to do with who you're of. And he says, if you're of God, then I'm not ashamed to call you my brethren. Do you have anyone else that is willing to do that? Do you have anyone else that it does not matter how wicked you get or what you do, but simply because of who you're of, they will go, that's my brethren. We don't even do that as Christians. Christian gets a couple things wrong, we go, oh, I don't want to hang around them anymore. Distance myself from that nutter. You ever been walking in the street with your little brother or your little sister, and you just kind of get on the other side of the street a little bit because they had too much sugar that morning or too many beans that morning, depending on the circumstance. And you go, oh, you know, they're mine, but I just don't want to claim them right now. As Jesus said, there's only one condition on me not being ashamed of you, and that's that you're of the Father. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't care whether you sin or not. We're not talking about whether he's pleased, whether he approves, or anything like that. He's just saying whether he's ashamed to be associated with you. And he said, if you're of the Father, then I'm not ashamed to be associated with you. And we have here just this simple, plain declaration that if you're of God, Jesus says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you think I could make that promise? That it doesn't matter what you do, I'm just always going to be there for you. I'm not sure if I could uphold that promise. I mean, I want to say yes. But that takes an awful lot of grace and forgiveness and mercy, and I'm just not sure if I've got that much in me to give that blank check. So not because of what you do, but because of where you're from, who you're of. And Jesus says, if you believe on his name, you have power to become the sons of God, for which cause our captain is not ashamed to call us his brethren. And if you read on, it tells us what he says. He says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. He said, I will declare the Lord's name in the midst of the brethren. He says, as I declare the Lord's name, I'm going to praise his name in amongst the midst of those that I call brethren. He says, you lot are my people. Let me ask you, you that have been saved for a while, I want to ask you a challenging question. Are there some Christians, some children of God, some born again Christians that you would be ashamed to be seated amongst? Because there isn't a one that Christ would be ashamed. Now, he may disapprove, but that's different to being ashamed. He said, I'm not ashamed to call them brethren, not when they're of God. I'm not talking about someone that says, oh, I'm a Christian, and they're actually a child of the devil. But if you're of God, he says, in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto God? And that's my brethren. Again, I will put my trust in him. In the midst of the brethren, he says, I will put my trust in him. He declares that these are my people, and these brethren that I'm amongst, I'm going to stand in amongst them and say, I will put my trust in the Father. I'll sing His praises, and I'm doing it amongst those that I call my brethren, and I'm not ashamed of them. And further on, he says, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the... He goes beyond brethren. I and the children which God hath given me. He says, they're not just my brethren. They're my children. You know, it's funny how things change, isn't it? Our kids, our parents, when we're little babies, little toddlers, everything we do is cute and innocent, delightful. Then something happens. They turn into you lot. And not everything you do is delightful and cute and innocent. I mean, sometimes it's just like, okay. But you're still somebody's children. And God says, if you're my children, I'm not ashamed of you. Oh, granted, we might not be everything He wants us to be. We might not quite measure up to everything He wants us to do. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we're talking about being ashamed. And He said, I'll sing praises to the Father, and I'll glorify the Father amongst my children. And He says, that's who these lot are. And the reason He's not ashamed is because you're of God. Now, I don't know whether you're saved or not. Only you do. But God is simply saying, if you yield your will to me and you become born of the will of God, born of the Spirit, He says, I'll never be ashamed of you. That is the relationship promise that God has to His children and that Christ our captain has to His brethren. For as much, it goes on to say in verse 15, then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. For as much simply means the same back there as it does when He says, for this cause, for which cause? It's like saying it again, for as much, because they are of God, and because of those that are of God, the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. He not only says, I won't be ashamed, but because you are of God, and so that you could be of God, He said, I'll destroy the enemy. Not just because of how handsome Isaac is, and he went, man, I've just got to save that one, because can't let it go to waste. No, but He so loved the church. Those that He knew would be of God. Nothing to do with how talented you are or how handsome you are. How good a mustache you can grow. And solely because you're of God, He said, I'll give my life for you. So that you can be of God. He gave Himself to deliver us. That's a remarkable promise. Where's Bob? Last chance to get Bob. You ready? Mark 8:34. Ooh, Lola. Mark 8:34. So I can't quite hear. I cannot quite hear you. Nice. Thank you. You better get Bob. when he had called the people, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." It's almost like a contradiction, isn't it? How do you really feel about Christ as your captain? Is he your captain? Or do you just like the thought of it? You like hanging with people who Christ is their captain? We know that he'll not be ashamed of us if we're his. But how will you be? The Bible's basically saying here that if Christ found you curled up in a gutter because you just went after every wickedness this world has to offer, you're a child of God, he'd bend down and pick you up and say, "You're mine, come and I'll clean you up, get you sorted out." But what would you do when in the middle of that schoolyard, in the middle of that main street, in the midst of your house, in your home, in the midst of the church, someone said, "Well, where do you stand?" Christ turned up. Would you go, "That's my captain"? Well, that's not. A friend of mine at home, he's walking into the local supermarket, and another man in church, a fellow we're familiar with from different church to us, was there at the entrance to that supermarket warning people about hell, telling them about the promise of heaven. And as my friend was walking in, another fellow was walking out. And as he got to him, he said, "Look," he said, "stick to this side. There's a Christian over there harassing everyone about God. You want to come in on this door?" Well, all of a sudden, he had to make a choice. And he stopped and he said, "Well, you know, I know that man. And I believe the same thing he believes, and you need to listen to him. You ought to pay attention to what that man says." And walked on into the shops. Because you're going to have to decide whether you're going to be ashamed of God or not. Whether you're going to be willing to take up your cross and follow him. How submitted are you? He'll never be ashamed of you. But how are you of him? And I would suggest, if you are ashamed of Christ, you need to take a long, hard look at your salvation. Because if somebody raced into my home and dragged me out of its burning ashes so that I could live, I wouldn't care how much of a nutcase the world thought he was. He would be welcome at my table anytime. And I would count him as my friend because he saved my life. But we get ashamed of Christ. And I suspect many get ashamed of Christ because you're in church, but you're not in Christ. I don't know that. And I'm not talking about the fact that fear of man brings a snare. That's different, right? Now, sometimes I get scared of the person I'm talking to. And I get scared about what they might think of me. But I don't want to hide my Savior. I might have trouble at times finding out the way to have the conversation. And I might get entangled with my own insecurities, but That's different to being ashamed of the person that has redeemed you and going, you know what, I don't even want to be associated with him, because he wants to be associated with you if you're his. So, how are you submitted to him? Is it full of holes? Is it complete? Has it got some weight behind it? Is it set on fire? Because here's the thing. If it's complete submission, and even if it's submission with some conviction and some weight, but you're just not set on fire of God, I mean, it's just not burning in you, then you're going to go bouncing past a lot of people in this dark world and they're never going to know. Because if I filled this ball through full of lead and tossed it at Isaac's forehead, he wouldn't know that it was full of lead until it hit him. But then he'd know, right? Because there'd be some weight to it. But if I set it on fire, he'd know just by looking. A candle set on a table. A city on a hilltop. For all to see. What are you? Where are you at? Let me tell you what we've got one service tomorrow. One more time at camp, and then you know where you are? You're back out in the world. Do you know Christ? In your head, answer that question. Do you know that He is your captain? Answer it in your head, yes or no. Or, I'm not sure. If you say yes, does anyone else know? Have you ever told anyone else? If he's not, why not? You know, there's no one else that'll say, I'll never be ashamed of you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. My dad loved me dearly, but he forsook me. He went up and died and got himself buried in the ground. I can't go to him for advice anymore. He didn't want to, but he just didn't have a choice. It's appointed unto man once to die. His appointment rolled around. He forsook me. Chances are one day, mom and dad will be gone, just be you. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to sit down around the fire. We'll probably sing a song to close out. I like closing with a song. It's a good way to close. Can we do Lord Send Me Anywhere? I like that. I like that. I probably can't lead it, but I like it. And we're going to go and go about the rest of the night. But as we do, tonight, tomorrow morning, I want you to think about Christ not being ashamed of you. How do you feel about Him? I want you to think about, is there anyone else that would give you that promise in life? My wife loves me, but I think I could get her to walk on the other side of the street. I reckon I could do that. Hey, girl, oh, I'm putting some distance between me and you right now. But in a sense, Jesus never does. But what do you do when God's doing a work? Do you say, I need to distance myself from that? Or do you go, no? If God's at work, I'm with Him. I'm right where God is. It doesn't matter how long you burn for. If you're burning for Jesus, chances are someone will see you, even if you only burn for a moment. I'm going to tell you about some people tomorrow. Some of them you may know, some of them you don't. I think the oldest one died at Cam's age, 29. But their candles burned bright. Their candles burned bright. And they wanted them to. Because they said, if I'm going to be known for anything, I'm going to be known for Christ. If you want to be known for Christ, don't wait for an invite for an opportunity. Go kneel on your knees somewhere. Spend some time praying. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you don't want to do it here and you want to go and just find somewhere quiet to sit and spend some time with God and say, Lord, I want to do some business with you. Because chances are there's someone, if not a number of us, that just haven't been burning like we ought to. And the first place that's going to make a difference is going to your captain and saying, oh, I've let you down some. And I want you to set me on fire. Send me into the heat of the battle. Put me where you want me. But you've got to talk to him about that, not me. So if you need to talk to me about something, come and talk to me. Come and talk to James, Cam, one of these camp leaders, your team leader. Talk to someone if you need some help. But mostly talk to God. If you need to talk to God. All right, well, I'll pray. Lord, I thank you for the time together. I thank you, Lord, for these last couple of days where we can relax. And Lord, it's good to be relaxed about something serious. Sometimes we make our relationship with you all so big and scary, we forget how simple it is. We can just come to you in the boldness of what Christ did and just trust in that and say, Lord, I need your help. Oh, Lord, there's some kids here that probably need your help. I know I need your help. So, Lord, as we go about the night, I pray that you would just speak to their hearts. If there's anyone that's lost here tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd prick them before this camps out. And that they'd know that there's a God in heaven that pricks the hearts of man. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd have your will amongst us. You'd set some souls on fire to do your will, to do your bidding, to go where you'd send them. And Lord, send them anywhere. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In all honesty, stay and pray. If you need to stay and pray, this place is going to be empty. If you need to come back here, let one of the leaders know and say, hey, look, I need to go and pray. I'm going to go back up and pray. I'm quite sure they'll say, you go for it.